And hello, welcome to the first, is this the first Monday in May? The first Monday in May, two-point conversion. Also, we are your host. We haven't seen you in a while on a Monday, have we? Because of the draft. Jay and I have been drafting and being on draft podcasts, so we've missed you guys. For those of you who have broken up your NBA playoffs to listen to us, we appreciate you. Thank you very much. We are going to cut this one a little bit short so you won't miss the Lakers, Jay's favorite team. Why, I don't know, but it is. So we are going to dive right in. Hey, Jay, how are you, though?
I'm well. How are you?
Yeah. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm good. I have to turn off my – there we go. Do not disturb.
Welcome back. It's been about a month. It feels like.
Yeah, it has been a month. It's really crazy. It has been a whole month. I mean, I think that we haven't been on. So everyone who, again, who's joined us, thank you. If you're joining us later after the NBA playoffs, I understand. I totally get it. Thanks for joining us whenever you can. We appreciate you in any capacity. And always remember that Going for Two is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. And if you guys haven't seen the commercials for Underdog Fantasy, it's like an actual dog. It's like the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life, except for the Subaru commercials, where a dog is like sitting on by the computer and he's like supposedly the one who made Underdog, and it's the cutest dog ever. So go to Underdog Fantasy because they use a real live dog in their commercials, and up to 100% deposit match if you use our code, which is Big G, Big F, and the number 2. And you can play all the sports. All the sports you can play on there. So do it. Do it now. Do it soon. Also, I just want to say, I don't know that much about hockey. How about you, Jay? I'm not the biggest hockey fan.
I'll watch it. It's fun to watch, but I'm not anywhere near a savant when it comes to hockey.
Yeah. All I know is that Chicago Blackhawks won the lottery for this Connor Bedard kid, who apparently is Jesus on ice. So I read a thing where it says he is the LeBron James of hockey. So he's
get out of here.
Yeah, he's 17 years old. He's been touted as the greatest since he's 13. And I guess in hockey, there's that no age limit. They just draft you right whenever, when you're 17. And apparently he is, they were saying the hype was so high when he was 13, they were afraid that he would never live up to it. And he just keeps getting better and better. And he was 14, he played with the 18-year-olds. He's just he's the best thing since sliced bread for hockey, I guess. And Chicago Blackhawks just won the lottery, so they get him. Yay.
If you're hockey is fun to watch, but I don't really know how to watch it. I don't understand all of the rules. It's hard to keep track of the puck.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm where is
offsides?
It?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a friend, my friend Jeremiah, who loves hockey, every week has to explain the difference between icing and offsides to me. Because to me, they're the exact same thing. It looks like the exact same thing. I'll watch it. I watched it when the Avs were playing, but now they're no longer there, so I'm not watching it anymore. But yeah.
I will say this, though. It's a fun enough sport to where I definitely want to learn the game a little bit more. And participate. There's always great. There's great energy in hockey. Have you ever been to a hockey game, a live hockey game?
No, I don't go to live sporting events. I just don't. I have a phobia.
Hockey is one of those games where even if you don't know, what the heck is going on, you have a beer. It's fun. It's basically like football on ice, man. Those guys are hitting hard. I remember the very first time I went to a hockey game. Kings versus the Ducks, and this is when the Kings were in their championship run when they won the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. And that game was it was lit. I thought I was watching football legit. The hits that those guys, those guys are flying on those skates. They're going probably like I said, I'm not a hockey savant. They're going probably about 30 miles an hour on those skates, and those are full all out hits, and the glass just shakes for 5 minutes. It's intense.
I think I read something somewhere where hockey players are the most athletic of all athletes. You have to be supremely athletic to play hockey. I also read they were not the smartest of all the athletes. mainly because they get drafted so early that some of them don't have the primary and secondary education that other athletes are forced to have. So, but they are the, hey, Jamie played hockey. I can see that, actually. I can totally see that. I don't know why.
I can totally see that too.
But yeah, I heard that the hockey player is like the most gifted of all athletes. Like just what they have to do and how they on ice, even it's just
they're incredible. The way that they could pivot and switch off of those and those skates where they're going from a full out sprint and then they're like next thing you know, they're like skating backwards and you know, just the hand eye coordination.
That was not the reason, Jamie. That was totally not
the reason.
No, not the reason at all, Jamie.
Jamie is the ultimate content support. Just add water, right?
I don't know what I would do about Jamie. Actually, I love Jamie. So this Bedard kid, we'll see. He's going to Chicago. I mean, that's a big market, especially for hockey. So we'll see how he. He's from what, Vancouver? He's from Canada. He's a Canadian. I'm sure he'll be fine. I'm sure he'll be fine in Canada. Like, that was my whole thing with Zach Wilson, aside from the fact that I didn't think he was worthy of a number one pick. But you're taking a kid who clearly has lived most of his life in, you know, seclusion, and you're putting him in the New York market. That's like, you're asking him to fail. You're setting them up for failure. I think it is really important where people are drafted and who is drafted where. And Zach Wilson clearly in New York
didn't have a chance, right?
Did not have a chance. When the picture that he had to take with the ink with Garrett Wilson and who's the other one they had? He looked terrified. Zach Wilson looked terrified. So I hope this Bedard kid makes it in Chicago. I mean, Chicago is like what, one step lower than New York? I mean, not lower, but like one step harder to the spotlight is hot, you know?
Yeah. I'm not going to withdraw any criticism of Zach Wilson though, because he definitely, you know, talked the game. He, you know, big time, you know, playboy, got in trouble with, you know,
his
mom's friends. And, you know, he's out there like, we don't want to get into some interesting shows that start with what he's doing out there chasing after moms. But yeah, he definitely talked the talk.
But did he? I mean, you could tell that he wasn't. When he was asked the question, did you think your play was a hindrance to your team or something like that? And he answered like right away, no, he didn't even think about it. He just said no. And he played so bad that game that you could tell he was someone who was not ready for the bright lights. He was someone who was not ready to take. He was someone who never had to take responsibility for what he, for his actions, because that was like, I mean, no, you have to go back in that locker room on that, to that defensive team that played their asses off while you threw what, like four interceptions that game, three interceptions that game, and you played like shit. And you're telling this whole sports world that it wasn't your fault. Even if it wasn't his fault, even if he had played like a sparkling game, most of the quarterbacks, the good quarterbacks would have went, yeah, you know, I could have.
Yeah, they'll take it. You're the quarterback. It's your job to fall on that sword. And, you know, that's if Tom Brady does that every single time that his team loses, where very rarely he's the reason that they lose, then Zach Wilson, who are you? Right. So.
Yeah. Zach Wilson wasn't ready for the big spotlight. And you know what? I'm just going to say that. So, you know, that commercial where the guy has this T-shirt that's like all messed up. I feel like that right now. I just noticed that my T-shirt's all messed up. Probably because I just woke up and I slept in it, but that's neither here nor there. I have like a really massive headache going on. Which reminds me, we're only going 30 minutes today, so we're going to be done. So you guys can watch the Lakers. The Lakers trounce the Golden State Warriors one more time.
Hopefully.
I don't know. Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Let's talk really quick. Dynasty rookie drafts. Let's talk rookie drafts. Let's not use the word dynasty because I don't play dynasty. Your top three players.
Gladys, you got to come around. I used to be like that. I used to be like, you know, season long is where it's at. I won't ever play Dynasty. I watched college football, but not that much. But once I went to, once you come in, that's it.
How do I know? I don't even know what I'm going to be doing, like, when I get off this podcast in 31 minutes, much less what I'm going to be doing, like, in 2024. Yeah, so I want the number one pick so I can have Caleb Williams, who might not even make it through the 2023 season and healthy. No, I can't do that. I can't. How in the world are you in 10 rookie drafts this weekend? That's borderline psychotic. That's psychotic. And I'm assuming that means it's all you're drafting are rookie players.
Yeah, typically that's how dynasty leagues go, where if it's not a startup, you have the rookie draft every year. They like to draft them like literally like right after the draft. So most of the times these are going to be slow drafts. So they're not going to be the normal standard draft where you have like the time limits and things like that. So you could conceivably do, you know, a couple of drafts all at once. 10 is still a lot, though.
10 is ridiculous.
That's a ridiculous amount.
So he's in 20 because he has 10 more to go. That's insane. It's insane. That is insane. Jamie, I'm you need an intervention right now.
Talk about hedging your bets.
I know, right? All right, Jay. So, all right, I'm going to say my top three players because this is my top three players that I would redraft, that I would draft and redraft. But I don't know if they're dynasty players. So Anthony Richardson, number one. Jordan Addison, number two. And Quentin Johnston, number three. Ooh. Yeah, go.
Hot takes. My 1, 2, and 3 are Bijan Robinson, CJ Stroud, and Jordan Addison. I've moved Jordan Addison way up. I always thought that Addison was this is me. I've always felt that Addison was a better overall wide receiver than Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I'm putting my name on that. That's going to be a hill that I'm willing to die on. I think that JSN is a little bit overrated for me. I think that we're putting a lot of stock into the Rose Bowl game a couple of years ago when he was outstanding, where Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave didn't want to play in that game because they were getting ready for the draft. Looks like a great decision by those guys. But I just think that Jordan Addison is more polished. Blitnikoff Award winner from 2 years ago with your boy, Kenny Pickett, throwing to him. Jordan Addison is the reason why Kenny Pickett is with the Steelers right now. So maybe that's why you can hate Jordan Addison there, Gladys. But I think he's very polished. I think that Bijan is he's just going to hit the ground running right away. He's going to be an amazing fantasy asset. Although in Dynasty, I tend to like to avoid taking running backs until you have a team that's really a running back ready away from competing for the championship, because you want to get those guys, you know, when they're in their second, third, fourth year, when they're enjoying their breakouts. And I think that CJ Stroud is the best quarterback in the draft, in my opinion. I don't like Anthony Richardson, by the way. I think that he gives me a lot of Malik Willis vibes.
Oh, please. I think that CJ Stroud is probably the best technical quarterback in the league. I'm not particularly fond of his landing spot for him as for fantasy value. I like Anthony Richardson. I think he is, he's in a better landing spot than Malik Willis got in. And I think that he is a bigger and better version of Malik Willis. So I think that part of Malik Willis's undoing is where he landed. And if he had landed with a team that was more, I mean, Tennessee isn't what I would call a quarterback friendly team as far as the play designs, as far as their coaches. So Malik Willis, that's not the space for Malik Willis. And I think that might be Will Levis's undoing also, although I do think that they're going to rely more on his legs than they are on his arm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's draft capital, right? You know, teams aren't really invested in two guys that they don't spend first round draft capital on. So in fairness to Anthony Richardson, truthers out there, he couldn't have landed in a better spot.
Oh,
going to Indy, you know, they got, you know, Michael Pittman there. They got a pretty good offensive line. They got Jonathan Taylor there. They're in a dome. Stricken.
That's the best part.
Yeah. They're who's the competition? What name a defense that scares you in that division? Well, you know, Houston might be, you know, a little bit better now, but one player is not going to make that whole better. So he couldn't lend it in a better spot. So a lot of times fantasy is a combination of talent and skill set with landing spot. We all know that. In that regard, I can see the value in Anthony Richardson, but where you have to take him in a rookie draft, where you got to get him in that first three, that's a little rich for my blood. If I was in one of those positions, if I'm a number three and, or let's say I'm number four, okay, and Robinson's gone, Stroud and Bryce Young are gone, I'm looking to probably trade down out of that pick.
Jamie, who are your top three in your gazillion drafts, like in your 20 drafts? Who are your top three rookie picks? I am interested to know. I just, like I said, I'm not, like, I'm in a dynasty league with actually Kyle, and I'm pretty sure Jamie's in it. Oh, I wonder if that means I have a rookie draft this weekend. And no one tells me anything. I'm on Sleeper, and I just switched phones, so I don't even know. But
you're on auto pick.
I am on auto pick. I don't even know if I have picks, because I think that I may have traded out of all my picks for 2023 by acquiring guys that I needed for that season, for last season, which didn't help me a bit. But I mean, like, Dan is in there, and Dan knows that my dynasty. So he's always the one that's like, hey, so I'm going to give you so-and-so. Can I have your 2023 number two pick? I'm like, sure.
Sure.
Sure. Sounds good. That sounds like a match made in heaven.
Sound like the Rams. Expletive them picks. Expletive them picks. Give me guys that I know. Exactly. Stroud and Gibbs because of draft capital, but wouldn't argue with the upside of Richardson over Stroud, but Stroud is the safer bet. When you're going number one, number two, number three overall, yeah, I don't want to miss on that, but I can get it. I can – if you're in a position where, like, look, let's, if you're going to gamble, okay, if you're going to gamble on just the highest upside, the highest ceiling in a draft, then Richardson's your guy, definitely. But in dynasty, where I'm looking to kind of anchor around, if I'm in a position where I need a quarterback, I need my guy, you know, for a decade. So it's not going to be Richardson. But I don't hate on anyone who's willing to, you know, gamble on that for sure.
Hey, Jamie, quickly, am I drafting this? Is one of those 10 drafts a draft that I'm in? I just need to know that. If you know, let me know. It was one of those Kyle's. I don't even know the name of the league, but you know what league I'm talking about. Kyle, Dan, I think it's the Coin for Two League, maybe is what it's called. I don't know. Just let me know if I need to prepare.
Yeah, I'm going to need to get in that league the next time one of those the team opens up.
Oh, it might, my team might open up like really soon. okay, let's move on because we're shortening. So we did Blackhawks. Let's talk about the college portal, the transfer portal for football, specifically for college football. All right. I am in favor of the portal because I think that it's not fair that coaches can, like, sign a contract for 5 years and then decide that they're going to go to another school and leave the players, like, that they drafted or that they drafted. Maybe the players that they picked, like, there, right? So, however, I am concerned. We might have a startup. Wait, what do you mean a startup? What is happening? I don't.
He was responding to my question. They may have a startup that I can join in. Yeah, startup dynasties when you draft everybody in the beginning. So, yeah, those are fun.
Yeah, no, that doesn't sound like fun at all. That sounds like a lot of stress. So my concern is, and I'm specifically talking about CU. So when Deion came to CU, which, again, not even sure how that happened. I don't even know the logistics of getting Deion Sanders out here in Colorado. I don't know who looked up and said, hey, you know what? Deion Sanders is a perfect fit for CU. Because in no universe would that have happened. Like, in no multiverse would that happen. But when he got here and he did that, someone taped his talk to the team, and he was like, some of you guys aren't going to be here. So he basically was telling them, go into the portal, because I'm bringing my own guys in, which is basically what he's done. And I read last weekend, that CU has the most players that have left in the history of CU to go into the portal. Something like 50 players have gone into the portal. However, he is bringing in, like, his son, I think, is a quarterback now. The kid that he picked off from someone to go to Jackson State, I think he's a cornerback, maybe, or a wide receiver. He's one of those two. He's in the portal and coming to CU. Is this a misuse of the portal? Are people taking advantage of the portal? Like, I read somewhere where one kid has been in the portal like 4 times. Like, in each year, he's not played for the same team. How is that helping them? How is that helping a kid?
I don't think that it's a misuse of the portal, but I think that some players need to be wise with what the situation is that they had. Let's be realistic. A lot of these kids that are playing college football are not going to be professional athletes.
Right.
Okay, so if you are not one of those kids that are going to be a professional athlete, and when we talk about that high draft capital, right, at least going in round 3 or higher, then you want to make decisions based off of where you can get a good education, kind of get grounded in a little bit, you know, and start really looking for your future. I'm a fan of the transfer portal. I'm a fan of the college student athletes being able to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. I think that all of these things are good. I think that it basically just exposes the elephants in the room that was kind of, you know, inevitable. The levy was always going to break with this, with the massive, massive amounts of money that college football is making. And then you have the stalwarts always at the top, where these were Nick Saban, you know, and Kirby Smart. These were their recruiting tactics.
Right.
And now, you know, a kid doesn't necessarily need to do that in order to, one, you know, have an opportunity to make money, make a name for themselves. And a lot of it is you got kids who, okay, they weren't going to be recruited, you know, by a Colorado or a major Power Five conference coming out of high school. And then they put in a year at a local, you know, at a JC or not even JC, I'm sorry, just at a lower rung team. And now all of a sudden they have eyes and they can go into a bigger program. So for kids like that, it definitely is an upgrade. You're getting an upgrade regardless of what everybody want to talk about, from going to Jackson State to going to Colorado. And now you're getting your games, you know, national televised games, which has an opportunity. You know, we're talking about Shakur Sanders as one of the top 3 quarterbacks coming into the draft, you know, next year. So I'm a fan.
So you're saying Shakur Sanders wouldn't have been a top 3 quarterback if he stayed at Jackson State?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay. I am also a fan of evening the playing field. And I think that's what the NILS does. I think that that's what the portal does. My only worry is that it is giving false hope to these kids that keep transferring, that keep going from portal to portal.
Yeah, they're bouncing and bouncing and bouncing, trying to stick somewhere, right?
Right. And what up, Mr. Scampers? And we already talked about the Blackhawks. Mr. Scampers is not a fan of the Blackhawks winning the NHL lottery and the Bedard lottery. Let's just call it the Bedard lottery. He is not a fan, apparently. I'm guessing he's not a Blackhawks fan. And bullshit. I mean, and it runs both ways. Like, I just saw, not only did LSU pick up the Louisville kid, the Louisville girl for college basketball, they got another recruit that's like a top 5. But I mean, I don't know. Van Smith, I think. The Hillary girl from Louisville. Why would you leave Louisville and go to LSU? I mean, I know why you would. LSU probably will be in the running to repeat next year because they really didn't lose that many
Oh, wait, go there because you have LSU. You're going to have LSU. Right. You're going to have Iowa. And you're going to have South Carolina. If you're not at one of those three schools, you really don't have a chance to win a national championship game. So if you're Louisville, if you're, you know, if you're playing here at Louisville, you probably want to team up.
Wait. Before the national championship this year, LSU wasn't considered in that hunt either. LSU wasn't, they weren't a team that people were like looking to win the national championship. Do you know what I mean? Like they had Angel and everyone's like, oh my God, she's really good. But they weren't, it was the South Carolina lottery. It was the South, no one.
It was a race to who was going to lose to South Carolina. I think we talked about it on our pod. That big game, right? When they played South Carolina and Angel had like three fouls in the first quarter, right. Where it just kind of took the air out of that. But, you know, Kim, as much as we don't like, it, you know, since my partner doesn't like him, I don't.
I don't,
she's a great coach though. And I just think that's where you want to go. They're a different type of team than South Carolina is. And then you got Caitlin Clark over there in Iowa. I would expect her to be on some kind of mission, you know, next year. If I'm Haley, I'm not staying there. I got to go give myself a fighting chance to, you know, play in a national championship game.
Yeah, but they're not getting the high name portal players. It's South Carolina and LSU still. Yep. They're still getting. So, all right, portal. Done. We're done with it. Unless you guys want something else about it. We're done with the portal. It's good, but I fear that the kids are getting an unrealistic expectation of how good it is for them. You know, and now to the final. NBA playoffs. So here's the thing. Everyone knows, or everyone that listens to the podcast should know, that I don't start watching NBA basketball till the playoffs happen. I don't care. It's like the season is like a friggin' decade long, and I don't have the attention span for it. However, I am watching diligently the playoffs, and I do not see one team that I feel is like, oh my friggin' God, they're going to win this. Yeah. It's like even across the board.
Well, for seven teams. Seven out of the eight teams have you can look at, and they have.
Are you counting the Knicks out? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. That's like the old Sesame Street game, where one of these just do not belong. The Knicks, easily the worst team in the semifinals.
Yeah. Okay. I'm okay with that.
But to your point, though, when you look at the rest of the field, you're like, yeah. I mean, I can see the Heat winning a championship. I can see the Lakers. I can see the Warriors. I don't see the Suns either. I'm going to say the Suns are probably not going to be able to get there. So they will be on a. I reseeded the teams. I reseeded the eight. So my number one seed is the Nuggets. Still, ooh. At the end of the day, they're undefeated at home. The Nuggets don't have to win anywhere else but in Mile High. So if they continue to win their home games, they're going to be champions. The two seed is going to be the Lakers for me, and that's not just the homer talk. It's the Lakers, and I'm going to say this with the big, big caveat here. Anthony Marchand Davis. Dude, you are the most frustrating superstar player that I've ever seen play. I want to pull my hair out one strand at a time watching him. Because it's like Jay Williams. You know, Jay Williams said, what did he say? He said that Anthony Davis – he has like these big extremes where Davis can be either Embiid or Joker or better, or he can be JaVale McGee. and he's so right. That's what's so frustrating. And that's what's frustrating about Davis. You're not frustrated about the games where Davis disappears. That doesn't frustrate me as a Laker fan. I am frustrated when he's dominant, when he's getting like 30 points and 23 rebounds, because I know that he can do that pretty much every game. So the Lakers would be the two seed. The Heat, my three seed. Jimmy Butler, Spoelstra is the best coach still in the field. That team's tough and gritty. They're going to fight you for every game. I will put the Warriors at number four. The defending champs, can't count them out. Steph Curry is Steph Curry. But Klay Thompson, you got to watch this, because if Klay starts getting hot, that's going to become a problem. Hopefully the Lakers can go ahead and win tonight, and then we'll be able to eliminate them. Then I'm going to go with the Sixers. And in the Suns, I kind of have a little tie there. I think that the Sixers are with James Harden and they're in his two in the two wins there. He's averaging like 42.5 points in both the wins against the Celtics in this series. The Suns just don't have enough depth for me. And as the playoffs go on and they're getting into these extended series where they're going into series that are going to be, you know, 6-7 games from here on out, that's going to start to really show. So I don't think that they have enough horses and the depths there. And then the Celtics, I think that they're being held back by coaching. I think that Joe Mazzulla is in over his head with that position. It was a position that was handed to him. They had to have an expedited coaching search, you know, after the situation that happened last year with dating certain having we're not going to get into that that situation there. And then the Knicks just simply don't belong.
Okay. Again, in my limited knowledge of NBA, but my extensive knowledge of the playoff games, I don't have as much confidence as other people do in the Nuggets. Like, they should have won that game last night. Was it last night? Yeah, they played Tuesday. They should have won that game last night. I mean, that they didn't is kind of discouraging to me. I think I'm more discouraged by losses that teams should have won than by, like Lakers blowout win of the Warriors. Like, I mean, you know, I think that I don't have that much confidence in the Nuggets. Although,
yeah, you can say with a blowout, you can say, they just looked completely out of sync. We'll chalk it up. You know, it's a wash. We move on. And that's the problem I have with the Celtics. They made the big comeback and then they lose the game in overtime. They came back from 15 down late in that game, get it in overtime, and then they squander it there. One thing I will say about the Nuggets, though, is that, again, it goes to the point, the Nuggets don't have to win anywhere else except Denver. Right. And it's hard to go into Denver and win a game. We always talk about, you know, role players. Role players are going to be the best when they're at home. That's a true home field advantage, you know, where you go into Denver, that's a tough out. I just think that Denver is a good team. A shout out, by the way, for the NBA getting it right and not finding, or I don't know if they find him, but they did not suspend the Joker for the little incident that happened there. They find him. How much?
25K.
Okay. I can see a fine, but I'm happy that they didn't suspend the Joker and even the Suns owner for tweeting that, you know, he didn't deserve to be, you know, suspended for that. I thought that was great because it could have Mark Cuban would have been asking for him to be suspended. So
first of all, why are the owners all these little mousy guys? Like, I had no idea he was the owner until they said something. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was like, who? And, you know, I'm kind of with the Denver coach. Like, I don't care who he was. He was fucking holding on to the ball. Like, yeah. Joker was just trying to get the ball and trying to, like, speed up his game so they could get out there. So if anyone should have been suspended, it should have been the owner for, like, impeding the game, I thought, or whoever the guy was. But, you know, whatever. I'm glad they didn't spend Joker either. But they did. And 25K is probably, like, a drop in the hat to him. Probably, okay.
Joker's been kind of changing the narrative about him a little bit, the being the quiet guy that's never going to, like, erupt. I mean, he had, like, the little halfway, like, football block push last playoffs. You know, where he got frustrated and just kind of like charged into. I can't even remember who he did it on, but you know what I mean? It's just, and then his brother, you know, he got in, they were getting into it. And his brother was like, look, man, you don't want this smoke. You know, let's keep this with basketball and all that type of stuff. So I like it. I like it. I think that Joker could use a little bit of a tough guy in him.
I think. And I could be wrong because, again, I'm not that big of a fan. But I'm pretty sure that I waited on Joker's brother at the bar and one of his friends. And, yeah, I wouldn't want – like, just to look at them, I wouldn't want any of that smoke. I mean, these are big guys, and they're from Serbia, and it's ridiculous. But, they were really nice, but
I'm like, shit. You don't want that smoke.
Yeah. Why would anyone mess with you? That's just crazy. All right. So We are thanking Mr. Scampers and thanking Jamie for hanging out with us for 30 minutes or 35 or so. We've gone a little bit over our 30 minute like thing. I'm a little slightly under the weather, and Jay is like wearing his Laker gear already, so whatever. So we're going to cut this one short. I really appreciate you guys so much for coming back on a Monday after our draft hiatus, we'll put it. Hey, Jay, which I guess I shouldn't probably ask you now, but are you doing Thursday with us, the best running backs, the mock draft?
Is that this Thursday?
Yeah, that's this Thursday.
Oh, boy. I don't know. All right. I don't know. Let's talk offline.
Yeah. Well, text me and let me know. It's okay. If you're not, because Kyle's going to do it and Kevin's going to do it. So we have like the full thing, and I can jump in if I have to. But thanks, Jamie. You're the best. Jamie's so sweet. But so this Thursday, Jorge Martin it's his draft. The mock draft is the best running backs ever, I think is how I put it. The best running backs ever. 7 p.m. on the Going for Two Live Network, which has a show every night. So there's one tomorrow night. The boys will be talking. Wednesday night, The Armchair. Thursday night, us. Friday night. Jimmy, what is the Friday night show? What up, little man? I don't know what the Friday night show is, but there's a show Friday. So you guys, anyone listening now, anyone listening in the future, come back and see us. We will be here not next Monday. Next Monday will be Kyle with his wonderful, wonderful show. And it's an hour earlier. So come and listen to Kyle. And then I will see you guys Thursday at 7 p.m. to mock draft the best running backs ever. Mine are all going to be Steelers. Spoiler alert. So so just in case you're wondering, I've already decided. Thanks, you guys. Good luck, Lakers fans, and we will see you later. Wait, what did Jamie say? No Friday show. I think I'm the off season. I'm on Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday cheat sheet. Tuesday cheat sheet? There's two shows on Tuesday now? I don't know what's happening. Jamie, talk to me about Tuesday cheat sheet later. Like, DM me. Tell me when it's on so I can listen to you. Because I thought the two guys were Tuesday on their talk. Okay, I don't know what's happening. Obviously, I've taken one too many Benadryl. So we will see you later. Jay, thanks for joining me.
Abbreviated, but fun.
It was fun. We will see you guys next, not next Monday, the Monday after next. I will see you guys Thursday. Bye-bye.